Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
All right, I will.
You end it.
You end it.
Oh, no.
I'm going to end everything.
And you end it.
You end it?
Yeah.
I'm going to burn this place down. Okay. Let's just say weird shit that's coming out of everybody's speakers.
Banana, rifle, blubber, igloo.
Dang, I was going to say igloo.
Muckluck.
Oh, good. That's good.
Hullabaloo. Now I'm just doing Bulbous Bouffant, though.
I mean, that's my defense. Fine.
Macadamia.
Ooh. See, look at you. You're too good at this game. I couldn't get a single thought off before
just,
you.
Just do Bulbous Bouffant, and that's it. That's the truth. Love Bulbous Bouffant.
Well, everybody, welcome to Tapes and Scales. We're talking about stuff.
That's right. Are you waiting for the bus?
I am.
That's how Bulbous Bouffant starts.
Oh, man.
Have you ever heard that, Bulbous Bouffant?
I don't think so.
I'm playing it when we're done.
Oh, boy.
I'm excited for that one.
Yay.
Suck it, Maurice.
Oh, damn. Poor Maurice.
1979.
Okay.
Rocky 2.
Hey, that makes sense.
We're catching back up on them Rocky movies.
Hey, Apollo.
Watch this, 3/24/21. It is 1 hour 59 minutes long, and it is a sports drama.
Yep.
Somewhere in the middle of there. Directed by Sylvester Stallone. Starring Carl Weathers, Burt Young, and Tony Burt.
Mm-hmm.
Your All the Burts. Yeah. Your movie summary. Rocky struggles in family life after his bout with Apollo Creed, while the embarrassed champ insistently goads him to accept a challenge for a rematch.
Yeah, this movie's so good.
So the follow-up to this one is everybody feels like Apollo cheated or was favored. He paid off a judge, something, to win the match against Rocky, and he shouldn't have, and he's fake, and it's really bugging him. Meanwhile, Rocky does not know how to balance his finances and is having a child.
Yeah.
So he's trying to figure that out. He's trying to figure out how else he can scrape by and make a living off of his success and hype from the boxing. And it's not going the best because apparently you can't just buy houses and cars immediately when you have not enough money to pay for them.
That does seem correct.
Yeah. It seems like something Rocky would do. He wants the best for Adrian, but he's too dumb to realize that he can't afford it.
I get hit in the head, you know?
Exactly. Ugh. Exactly. So he kind of ends up having to accept the boxing match. And then there's complications with Adrian's birth, and Rocky's conflicted. He doesn't know what to do. He kind of half-heartedly trains, and Mickey flips out on him. And then he manages to have everything righted with the pregnancy. He takes it as a sign he needs to do it. Adrian comes to and says, you need to win. We need to, you know, I guess having the child made her realize that, you know, the child likes to have things like a house.
Sure.
And like a warm place with food in it. So she...
One of those food places.
Insists Rocky goes and fights Apollo and that he wins. So the struggle's kind of with Apollo, but kind of with Adrian. And this movie's a little bit confused, in my opinion. It's a good follow-up, but it's a little confused. Clunky, I think. Earnest, though. I think it's good. And it's
Earnest is in it.
Earnest.
I get so excited.
Get ready, Vern. Earnest. It's a little melodramatic, I think. And we start to see more of the... Rocky teeters between this. Is this a boxing Rocky or is this a soap opera Rocky?
Sure.
And we will get into those as this Rocky marathon will continue.
Love it.
But this one is balancing things not nearly as elegantly as one, but still pretty good.
It's a smart follow-up as far as the plot.
I agree. IMDb gives us a 7.3 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
Rotten Tomatoes critics, 31 critics went back and reviewed this to a 71% so far.
Just 31.
Yeah, it's weird, right?
Yeah.
Audience, 82% out of 250,000 plus. And I'm coming in a little lower than everybody at a 6 out of 10 on Rocky 2.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know if I'd be at least that. I don't know if I'd be higher.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So right now, Creed at a 9, Rocky at a 9, Creed 2 at an 8, Rocky 2 at a 6.
Okay.
So a pretty significant drop off from
We'll go back Creed up 2. For Rocky 4, but then we'll go back down for Rocky 5.
We'll see.
I know. I know what delusionary world I live in.
I know what you like.
Drago! This movie's from 2021.
Mm.
It's called Jolt.
Is it about cola?
Sadly, no, but what a good cola.
Oh, Jolt Cola. Gave me so many headaches. There was so much caffeine in that soda.
So much. What a bad idea.
Oh, my God. Here, kids, caffeine and sugar and a little bit of water and syrup. Yeah.
Adult Tim.
Oh.
He knows better. But younger Tim, what a fool.
How many cans of Jolt Cola can I drink in 10 minutes?
I can see through time. Mm-hmm. September 6th, 2021 is when I watched it. IMDb minutes, 1 hour 31. It is an action thriller. This is an Amazon original movie.
Oh, okay.
Directed by Tanya Wexler, starring Kate Beckinsale, Jai Courtney, and Stanley Tucci.
I like most of those people. In fact, I like all those people.
They're good. Jai Courtney is really good in this. He's best known for playing Captain Boomerang.
Yes.
In Suicide Squad movies. Very good in this. Very a serious role for him, which, you know, Captain Boomerang is less than.
Oh, less than, yeah.
So, IMDb movie summary: a bouncer with a slightly murderous anger management problem that she controls with the help of an electrode-lined vest she uses to shock herself back to normalcy whenever she gets homicidal.
Whoa!
Yes.
That is not what I expected you to say about this film.
No, and that is your Kate Beckinsale character.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow, vampire fighting werewolves to crazy bouncer who needs an electric vest.
Yep.
That sounds like a wrestling gimmick.
It's actually a great idea. I like it. It's really, it's a out there premise, but they give her an origin story that makes it make sense.
Okay.
To where she has this issue. She has this incredible rage issue. They just can't get under control. It's actually a disorder. And you have people like the government like, well, we can turn her into a murder machine.
Right.
And other people are like, why on earth would you ever do that? Let's try to fix her. Let's try to help her so she can live a normal life. So you get a little of both in this.
Right.
She's, you know, Kate Beckinsale. Probably, I don't know how old she actually is, but she's playing like a 30-something character. Sure. It's weird and over the top in all the ways you kind of want it to be.
Okay.
It's got that John Wick kind of flavor to it.
Sure.
Stanley Tucci is fun as the therapist who kind of helps develop the shock vest. So she kind of has to go see him every now and again. He doesn't feel like a real therapist. And he's got like a loaded gun.
Stanley Tucci always feels like Stanley Tucci to me.
It's great,
but he always feels like Stanley Tucci.
Like it. A therapy appointment for her. She has to go in. She has to handcuff herself to, like, the radiator. He points the gun at her, and he works on the vest.
That's because
at any point, she might try to murder him.
That's weird.
It's very weird. Jai Courtney is best known as Captain Boomerang. He is super good in this.
Nice.
He plays a man she meets and kind of starts falling for, but she's too scared to get close to because she may murk everybody in the room.
Sure.
And she does kind of start murking people in a room at one point.
Nice.
And she's just like super sad and depressed. And he's like super great guy. He's like, he realizes, like, they get to the point where he actually sees the vest. And he's like, well, what is this? Tell me about it. He goes, you know what? It doesn't even matter. Let's just relax.
See my vest.
I really like the vest.
That's right.
It's so good. Yeah, this movie's super weird.
It's a really weird premise. But I mean, I guess if you want to see, like, if you're into Kate Beckinsale, it's probably because she's ass kicking. So,
right.
Whatever.
And she's all right in it. It's just weird. Fun scenes, fun moments, does well for such a silly plot. IMDb gave it a 5.6.
Okay.
Rotten Tomato critics, 70 of them, 41%.
Okay.
The audience, 250 plus, also gave it 41%.
Yikes.
That's the sign of the apocalypse. The Rotten Tomato critics and audience agree.
Yikes.
Yeah, the numbers were in blue. I've never seen that before. Like, they agree.
Wow.
It's definitive.
Holy shit.
I gave it a 6 out of 10. My wife gave it a 6.5 because I am very much of the camp. I read this and I was willing to turn my brain off a little.
Sure, absolutely.
And it was fun.
Awesome.
It's not good, but it's fun.
I like it.
Yeah, I like you.
Oh, great. 1982.
Sure.
Rocky 3.
Second best year of the 80s.
That's right.
Yes.
Rocky 3. Watch this on March 25th of 2021. It is 1 hour and 39 minutes. It's a sports drama?
It's some sort of sport.
Sylvester Stallone directed this one, starring Mr. T.
Yes.
Hulk Hogan.
Oh, Hulk Hogan, right.
And Ina Fred. Movie summary here. After winning the title and becoming the world heavyweight champion,
spoilers,
Rocky falls into a hole and finds himself picked up by a former enemy.
You should have just stopped there. He just falls in a hole.
A hole. It's actually Soul.
Yeah.
That's what this is about.
I don't know how to get out of here.
I'd
love to fight again.
Oh, my goodness. Is this an anime movie?
Throw clubber in the hole.
Am I a shark?
I'll fight him in the
How's
hole.
How's that walk?
I'll fight him.
So, my thoughts on this film. Tim, this is my favorite Rocky sequel.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yes.
Mr. T as Clubber Lang.
He's pretty good.
Is fucking tremendous.
Yep.
I love this character infinitely.
Yes, Clubber good.
His trash talk at Rocky's press conference is so unbelievably poor, but just the fact that he's Mr. T sells every single word.
This is peak Mr. T.
Oh my God.
The 80s is such a magical world.
It really is.
A character like Mr. T transcends so much.
It makes you wonder if Mr. T rolled into the audition full chains and feather earrings and everything, and they were just like, we don't fucking care. You don't have to say a word in this film. You are in this film, sir.
I would imagine that's exactly what happened.
He's so good. He's so scary in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, you believe that he wants to just beat the shit out of anybody standing near him in this film. It's awesome. He's so cool. Him goading Apollo, I have watched on an AB repeat on DVD for a solid 15 minutes straight. That, him going, hey boy, is so funny to me. Yeah. Every time I watch the movie, I snicker at that part. It just, he's so, like, he just absolutely degrades everybody. This movie, though, is a really weird one. This is where the movie starts to lean heavy into the melodrama.
Sure.
So, again, Tim mentioned spoilers, but this is where Mickey is killed in this one. And they kind of use that little piece of, like, oh my God, to unhinge Rocky, and Rocky loses the fight with Mr. T. And then it takes Apollo to come in and train Rocky to lift him up and teach him how to fight in a different way, in the, like, the light-footed, lots of movement kind of style, because Rocky was just a punching machine.
Right.
Mr. T is a harder punching machine.
Correct.
So he just wrecks Rocky, especially distraught Rocky, who's not sure if Mickey's alive or dead when he goes out to do his fight. So Apollo teaches him to move around, teaches him to actually fight like a fighter and not just a punching man. And then, lo and behold, Rocky loses a bunch of weight, slims up, trims up, lots of shirtless slow motion running with Carl Weathers. And I mean, Carl Weathers, how much man body is on film with Carl Weathers? Predator, this, dude, all the other rocks. Cut. Oh my God, Apollo. Just Apollo's great in this movie.
Yep.
And then we get to say, like, I remember years later seeing him in Happy Gilmore and not realizing that was the same dude.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we get him again nowadays in The Mandalorian. I don't think kids will ever appreciate, unless they go back and really look at his career, that's just like how amazing Carl Weathers truly is.
Yes, the man's amazing.
I love Carl Weathers. And this definitely falls in, like, this goes from drama to melodrama into borderline soap opera here in this one. It's really out there. The fight kind of doesn't matter in this movie. Like, he just gets wrecked by Mr. T super quick. And then the second fight where he beats Mr. T isn't very long either.
Sometimes boxing be like that.
Yes.
And I like that they committed that to the storyline.
Agreed. It's just, you know what I mean? He gets completely wrecked and then he completely becomes the counter. And it's just, both fights end very quickly.
I think the quickest knockout Mike Tyson had was 8 seconds or something.
He was insane.
Yes, for sure.
He was completely insane. And it's really interesting that they went that direction, but just, you get Hulk Hogan with the Thunderlips charity event. Yeah, it's so good. The Ultimate Male.
This movie sets up Wrestle Freaking Mania.
It does.
That's awesome.
Yeah, this movie's great. It's so cheesy and ridiculous, but I can't get enough of this one. This is my favorite sequel. For this one, if somebody asked me before I watched all these films to rank them, not including Creed, at that point, I would have said Rocky, then Rocky 3, then Rocky 2. Because I just love Rocky III so much.
Confused.
Yeah. That's the order thus far, Tim. We'll see if one of the other ones unseat it.
Oh, that's fair.
So it's going to be an easy Rocky 5, then Rocky, right?
Of course. Yeah. I'm a robot in 5. It's great.
That's right. Adrian's Revenge.
Beep, boop, beep. You jerk. Beep, boop.
That's Rocky 4, buddy.
Oh, right.
Happy birthday, Paulie. That's Rocky 4.
Oh, okay.
Yep. IMDb, 6.8 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes critics, 38 of them went back. Again, a weird number, but more than went back for 2.
Also strange.
63% for them. 250,000 plus again. 74% on this one. Down from the 82. I am giving it a 6.5. 0.5 higher than Rocky 2.
Okay.
Not a great. I will not tell anybody that they're going in for cinema masterclass on this one, but God damn it, I love this movie and I don't give a fuck.
I enjoy all the Rocky movies. Well, maybe not five, but I enjoy all the other Rocky movies. So your number, it's whatever you're feeling. So
that's right.
Fine. Yeah. Awesome. Well, I'm going to end it now.
Please.
With a Christmas movie.
Whoa.
Because I said this will probably come out December-ish, but who knows? I didn't look real hard at it, but I said Christmas is a thing.
Your math was way off.
Yeah, it's fine. I think we're in December. Who cares?
Right? It's possible. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, you filthy animals. 2018. Santa Jaws.
Santa Jaws.
It's
Santa
time for Jaws.
Ba-da-ba-da-ba.
Oh, you've seen it.
No.
I watched it September 7th. It's an hour 28. Your genre is action-adventure comedy.
Christmas.
Christmas. Directed by Misty Talley. Starring Reed Miller, Courtney Lauren Cummins, and Jim Clock.
Ooh.
Spelled with a K.
Death Clock.
Death Clock.
Love Death Clock.
But not Brendan Small. Weird.
No. Probably for the best, honestly.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
IMDb movie summary. Trying to survive the family Christmas, Cody makes a wish to be alone, which ends up backfiring when a shark manifests and kills his entire family.
Oh, of course.
So this is very much a stupid low-budget movie.
But right.
They make up rules and they follow them, which is super important.
I know that is, for you, that is possibly rule number one for low budget.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, here's this dumb thing. But we're going to do it.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, as long as you do it.
If you sat down and you made up all the, you figured out the premises of what stupid thing would actually, like, these are all the results and the ways stupid thing would impact it. That's legit.
Absolutely. This movie is, so the only thing I don't like about this movie is the title. I don't like it being called Santa Jaws.
Sure.
It's like, let's call it Shark Christmas something, anything else. Like,
yeah.
You're referencing Jaws just makes me think of a better movie with a shark.
Right.
Poor idea.
Agreed.
Otherwise, I like it a lot.
Nice.
What is, essentially this movie is a kid who is drawing a comic book called Santa Jaws.
Okay.
Which, that's fine, but call the movie something different.
Agreed.
And it's him and his friend, and they're just having fun, and like the shark has like a Santa hat on its fin when it's floating around.
Nice.
It's really silly on purpose. It's
sure.
meant to be silly. The grandfather for Christmas gives the kid a magic pen.
Okay.
He doesn't realize it's a magic pen.
Of course.
So the shark comes to life when he's working on his comic. And he's mad at his family because they're kind of being jerks to him on Christmas.
Sure.
And he's like, I just wish you people would die.
He's got Kevin McAllister-isms.
He just gets mad at them, but he's drawing the comic, which makes the shark come to life.
Okay.
It's pretty interesting because the shark can only be hurt by things that are Christmas-related.
Oh, wow.
Which is one of the rules. The kid is down at his comic book store all the time. I would definitely a real comic book store because it was like Citadel paint in the background.
Nice.
I'm just, me being a comic book store guy, I'm just like, oh, yeah, that's a real comic book store. That's probably the real owner.
They knew a guy.
They knew a guy, yeah. I know a guy at a comic book store. I know a guy with a llama. We're making two different movies. Magic pens are dangerous when used on comic books is my first bullet point. It's definitely, again, like a monkey paw kind of thing.
Sure.
Careful what you wish for.
That's the last action hero, right? Magic ticket, magic pen.
Yep.
Sure.
The shark is funny with the hat on the hat on the fin is so great.
That's a nice touch.
And the shark looks fine. It's not, I don't know what they did, but it's not like cheesy effects too
bad.
It's not terrible.
That's cool.
I mean, it's not amazing.
Right.
It's low budget, but I'm just like, they put some thought into this.
That's awesome.
And the kid's like trying to warn everybody, like, the shark, the first person who gets killed. This is amazing. The grandfather on Christmas morning or Christmas Eve, I don't remember which, he's like, let's go down to the dock. Let's fish. We used to always do that. Mom will be mad she grounded me. He goes, I don't give a shit. Let's go down to the dock. It's Christmas. We're going to do a tradition. We're going to have fun. They go down to the dock because he used the pen the night before. The shark is in the dock. Shark just out of nowhere comes up and just kills the grandfather in one bite.
Whoa.
And goes back in the water. And the kid is in utter shock. Like, the acting is actually pretty good for how weird and dumb this movie is.
Right.
I got to tell you, if you want a weird Christmas movie, this is definitely one for you.
Nice.
Sam will love it. I guarantee it. I don't guarantee it. But definitely like a teen or up movie, though. The violence is there, for sure. IMDb gave it a 3.8.
Okay.
Rotten Tomato Critics, it doesn't have a critical score, although there are two of them in there. The audience gave it a 50%.
Okay.
Out of less than 50 members. And I gave it a 4.5.
Not bad.
Like I said, my highest low-budget score is about a 6.
Yeah. Was that Killer Sofa?
That was the Killer Sofa.
I know Carousel is up there.
Carousel is, I think, a 5.5 right under
it. The second one just came out.
Oh, well, we got to watch that then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is just, you know, Jaws. Santa Jaws.
Ho, ho.